I'm going to read this morning 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll begin reading in verse 16 and then read through the end of the chapter. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. My focus is really on that last verse that Paul shares with us at the end of this section of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about Jesus being made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, we no longer use the system of bartering to exchange goods and services that most of us, I assume, are paid with money for the services we render, whatever your job happens to be. You're paid for that, for the whatever you perform. But that system of bartering was very, very acute and active in the pioneering days, the early days of our country, especially as the pioneers began to move west and they would go out and trap animals and, you know, shoot deer, and then they would tan the hides and they would bring those things back east, and they would exchange them. They would barter. They would give their goods to the people back east, and then the people would give them sugar and flour and things like that that they didn't have out there. And so that system was quite common. And I suspect that the attitude of those who bartered was no different from the kind of attitude we would have today about doing the same thing. Everybody wants a good deal when they make that exchange, right? No one wants to feel that they made a trade and somehow didn't come out on the good end of that trade. We don't want to get snookered by somebody when we're going to make an exchange. But the Apostle Paul, in this text, speaks of an exchange that takes place between God and his people that is absolutely amazing, to say the very least, because it is an exchange, if you will, that is horribly lopsided. And lopsided in favor not of God, but in favor of his people. When we come to Jesus Christ in faith, there is an exchange that takes place where we give to God or all of our sinfulness and our wretchedness, and God gives to us in that exchange his righteousness. Now, you can't get a deal that's any more lopsided than that, as far as I'm concerned, as I look at this text. And so we want to look at this morning and see what this transition, I call this the great exchange that takes place between God and his people. We need to, first of all, see what we bring to the table in this exchange. That's a question, obviously, that confronts us in any form of bartering. We really want to know what the other party is going to bring, and we want to know what we're going to get and what we're going to give in that situation. So I want to start with Jesus, first of all. Jesus brings to the table an impeccable righteousness. That is, Jesus brings to the table a righteousness that is perfect. Absolutely, unequivocally perfect. Now, Jesus recognized this in himself as he was in his earthly ministry. In John chapter 8, he is arguing about the issue of the Pharisees and their lying and being the father of lies. And he says to them, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Obviously, the answer to the question is no. No one could accuse Jesus of committing a sin. Now, Jesus in his earthly ministry at times was accused by other people of committing a sin. I think namely of the issue they said that Jesus was a Sabbath breaker. Why? Because he healed on the Sabbath day. And, you know, we have to be very careful, I believe, as Christians who believe the Bible. I've heard Christians say, yeah, Jesus said it was okay to break the Sabbath as long as you were doing such and such, as long as you were picking grain or if you were healing somebody, it was okay. That isn't what Jesus taught us. What Jesus taught us was there are things that you could do on the Sabbath day that might have be considered work or labor, but when you did these things, you're not breaking the Sabbath. He wasn't breaking the moral law. He was simply saying, you know, if your ox falls in a ditch and he needs to be extricated, don't wait till tomorrow to do that. If it's on the Sabbath day, do it now. Get him out of the ditch. He didn't say it's okay to break the Sabbath. He said that's okay to do on the Sabbath day. So we have to be very clear about that. And although Christ was accused of breaking the Sabbath, he never did, even though he did things on the Sabbath day. Other people recognized this about Christ. Pilate said he found no fault in him. And I think probably if we had any place we needed to turn, the writer of Hebrews probably states this, I think he states it unequivocally, but very clearly, and probably more so than anyone else in a blanket statement about the Lord. But he says in Hebrews chapter 4, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, he identifies who it is. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. And here is the phrase, yet without sin. Yet without sin. And then he tells us we should come to Christ with great confidence. So others recognized that Jesus Christ was absolutely perfect and that his righteousness is impeccable. You know, it's quite easy to view Jesus as some people do, to view him as a great man or to view him as a cut above the rest of us. We're here and he was up here. But that's not the point of what I'm trying to make. It is the fact that Jesus Christ is utterly unique. There was no other man like him, not before he came and not after he came. He is utterly unique in this regard because he is the only man who ever lived in this life and who did not sin. And so that's what Jesus brings to the table as he comes to make an exchange with his people. He brings this perfect, impeccable righteousness. A righteousness that nobody can poke holes through or can make any comments about in terms of its being imperfect. It was a perfect righteousness. And so what do we bring? We are, as human beings, we come to the table when we come to Jesus Christ, and we bring the wretchedness of our sin. That's what we bring to the table. That's all we have to offer. I have to tell you honestly this morning, that's it. We don't have anything else to bring to the table except the wretchedness of our sin. And so we bring all of our sin to Jesus and we place it on the table. And I think that's where what I call the incredible exchange or the marvel of this takes place. Can you imagine this morning? We bring every evil deed we have ever done. We bring every sordid thought that we have ever had, we bring it to the table. Every harsh word that we've ever spoken, any word that we've spoken about another person in anger and hatred, which Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount is actually murder, bring it to the table. And we lay our sin on the table as Jesus has laid his perfect righteousness on the table. Maybe there will be some technology that will permit this. I doubt it, but who knows? They do incredible things. Suppose someone had a video camera on you from the day you were born until the present day, and that video camera captured everything you did. It captured everything you said, and it captured every thought you ever had in your mind. How many of us would say, hey, let's play it. Let's have everybody watch what my life has been like. I wouldn't want my life on a video of any kind. But that's who we are. That's the sickness, if you will, and the evil that we are plagued with. It was interesting in the book of Genesis, man is described in an incredible way, and it's telling us the truth about ourselves. You may say, I don't really think I'm quite that bad. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you don't think you're quite that bad, you do not understand what the scriptures say about you. The writer in Genesis, we are told that the imaginations of man were only evil all of the time. Only evil all of the time. It probably bears reading the section in Romans chapter 3 where Paul describes who we are outside of Christ. He said, "No one is righteous, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and in their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That is a description of us. Every last person who is born into this world. And I tell you what, if we don't appreciate what is happening here, one of the reasons we don't appreciate it is because we don't understand just how wicked we are. There's always that comparison of things, and the worse this is, the better this seems. And sometimes we don't get the picture here and don't really rejoice in what the Lord has done because we don't realize just how awful we are. And I will tell you something else we put on the table. We bring our good works there as well. Now, before you accuse me of heresy, let me explain what I mean by that. It is obvious that we can do good works on the vertical level. You have to think about it in those terms. We do good works. You can take a meal to your neighbor, and that's a good thing that you do, and that's a good work that you do. Or you can give someone a ride to a doctor's visit, or give somebody a ride to the hospital. That is, again, a good work. You may see somebody on the street that's in need, and you might give them, $20 or $25 so that they can go and get a meal. That's a good work, but it's all on the horizontal level. Those works do not count on the vertical level, which is why Isaiah describes them as filthy rags. If you think your works are going to merit something with God on the vertical level, then we have to understand that they are very foul. And so we bring these works that maybe we thought we could do to make our hearts right with God, and we lay them on the table as well, along with all our sin. So all our righteous acts are brought to the table. And if you will, they're part of the trash that we bring. They simply add to the personal landfill that is our lives. I don't know whether you've ever visited a landfill. Most people don't have opportunity to go there, and I don't think today you're allowed to get into them, actually, unless you're taking a truck full of garbage up there. They're nasty places. The landfills are odorous, but that's the place where people take all the stuff they don't want, and they haul it off to the landfill. And that's really what our lives are like in the sight of God. Our hearts are like a landfill. We are filthy people. But the Lord tells us to come and to bring all of that, every bit of it, and put it on the table. And now, what Paul tells us in this chapter is that God is going to make an exchange for us. Now, when you think about that, you think, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't seem that bad. Maybe I could come to the table and God will take a little bit of my trash, but not all of it, and might give me just a little bit of his righteousness. Maybe that's what I would like. Maybe that would be good for me. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us at all. It teaches us that Christ takes all of our sin, all that junk and that garbage that you put on the table, every last speck of it. And he doesn't just say, okay, I'm going to push this off the end of the table and I'm going to get a tarp and cover it to take care of it. But instead, Jesus deals with it. He deals with our sin. He makes atonement for our sins when he dies on the cross. He bears our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, he became sin for us, is what Paul says in this text. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we, I could add something here, we who knew no righteousness might become the righteousness of God. And so Jesus becomes our sin bearer. The sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, as you know, if you've read the Old Testament, takes the place of the worshiper. And the sins are confessed upon that ram, and he runs off into the wilderness. And so what Jesus Christ does with this trash that we have put on the table, this garbage, he becomes the object of God's wrath. And he placates the wrath of God by taking our sin upon him. For everybody who trusts in him, we can be reconciled to God, and God will no longer be angry with us because Jesus has taken that anger away from us. It's like Christ being a lightning rod on top of a building. The purpose of the lightning rod is so that the lightning will not strike the building, but it will strike the rod and the electricity will go. It's grounded and it will go down into the ground. That's what Jesus did for us. It was a lightning rod for us. And then, you see, it's not good enough just to have your sins forgiven, because you're still not a perfect person. You know that And I know that. We still sin. You can't stand in the presence of God today in your own righteousness. No one can. And so the exchange is made. Christ takes our sin and bears it in his body on the cross, and Christ gives to us his righteousness. We have to understand what we're talking. We're talking about a righteousness with that no one can find fault with, not even God himself. He gives us his perfect righteousness. That's why the apostle in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Now therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ." That's a foolish statement, is it not? It's absurd to say that. But that's the reason, is because now we have received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the righteousness of justification, if you want to know the theological term for that. And it is received by us, by you and by me, by faith alone, nothing else, just trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like I think the scriptures describes it also as a robe of righteousness. And so that when God sees you now, he does not see you as you are, but he sees you with this robe on. And this is the robe of Christ's perfect, impeccable righteousness. And therefore, he cannot justly condemn you. He cannot condemn you. Is that amazing? What a bartering session that would be, eh? Or is, I should say, because it's happened to all of us. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, that's happened to you. And that's who you are in Christ. Jesus took all the junk in your life, all the garbage of your life, and he has exchanged that, if you will, for his perfect righteousness. I guess the question, too, that we ask is, and you know, when that happens and we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, how do we leave the table? This table that where we have bartered and we have given Christ our sinfulness, and Jesus has given us his righteousness. Well, I think we must leave that table riveted with a joy. Riveted with a joy that cannot be contained, because we just made the best deal of our life. It's amazing. It just is. That's why we sing that song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." That's what it's talking about. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What happened? The great exchange took place. You gave your sin to Christ. He gave his perfect righteousness to you. I want to say, I don't know the congregation here well, but if someone is here this morning and you're outside of Christ, you don't really know and understand, and you don't see what I'm talking about when I discuss this, and that exchange just doesn't touch your heart whatsoever, I want you to know that what Christ and what Paul is saying that God wants us to be is we're supposed to be ambassadors of this reconciliation, and we're supposed to be bearing this to the world and telling the world this can happen to you too. And I want you to know, if you don't know Christ, you can come to Jesus and give your life to him and trust him by faith, and this will be your experience. He will forgive your sins, and he will give you free of charge his righteousness. You see, it is this, I believe, that is the motivating principle of this text. for us to be good ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's happened to us. We've experienced this. God has been so good to us. God has demonstrated his grace to us. And now we must tell others that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. I said earlier in the introduction that nobody wants to be snookered when they make a deal, right? Nobody wants to get snookered. Well, we didn't get snookered in this one. This is an amazing thing to think about what God does to us. And I believe also the issue of your constant, as we focus and think about, I talked about this last week, about the older I get, the more I focus on getting to heaven, going to heaven. And this is what you need. Do you not, to see Jesus? If you're going to go to heaven and you're going to see Jesus, you better have his righteousness on. You have had to make that exchange. You've had to confess your sin and give it to Jesus and let him bear it, and then put on this white robe of righteousness so that you can stand in his very presence. I trust this morning that thought, and maybe you think about it during the week this week, that will excite you, what Christ has done for you. And also that it will motivate you to share the good news with somebody else, that they can also bear, have the righteousness of Christ imputed to them just by faith alone. God is amazing, and we need to praise him for being an incredible Savior. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, it is really an amazing thing when we read this text and we realize that Jesus knew no sin and that we knew no righteousness. And yet we get that from him, and he takes the awfulness of our lives and bears that himself. Oh God, we pray that this would enthuse us. We pray that our hearts would rejoice within us today, that we might find joy in that concept and in the knowledge that that's what Christ has done for us. I pray that you would encourage us as well to share the good news of the gospel, for we need to do that as well. We pray that we might tell others that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.